Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
All right, I need to be honest with you about something before we get into this. I love cruises. My family loves cruises. There's nothing like watching your kids light up when the ship pulls away from the dock and the ocean just opens up in front of them. I found it to be magical since my first cruise on the big red boat back in the early 90s to a cruise I took just last year with my daughter. The pools, even the buffets, not a big buffet person, but they're kind of fun. The groovy towel animals on the bed every night. It's fun. It is. It can be fun. It's not for everybody, but if you like it, you like it. It can be one of the best family vacations you can take. And I've always believed that. I've had some of my most, I would almost say, transformative experiences abroad, if you will, you know, meaning outside of land, on a cruise ship, culinary experiences, things that really opened up my mind to things beyond just what I've experienced on land. It was very good for me, and I'm sure it has been for many too. Many others, maybe not so much. Maybe it's just not your jam. That's fine. But I want you to understand the material we're about to go into in this five-part series is not someone who is coming at it from a I hate cruising standpoint, so let me, you know, shit all over it. That's not where I'm coming from. I still believe when operated properly and ethically and morally, and, you know, with some standards and background checks, it can be a wonderful experience. It can be. It's not the experience that's in question. It's those that operated and those that stand between the safety and the pleasure, the enjoyableness of that cruise that are in question here. And that's what we are getting into. I'm about to tell you a story that made me physically sick when I started researching it. And I think every parent who's ever taken their kids on a cruise ship or is thinking about booking one needs to hear it. It is not to scare you. I will still go on a cruise. But I'm glad I know this information. I'm giving this information to arm you with the knowledge that you deserve to have. Because what I found is not a one-time incident. It's a pattern that stretches across every major cruise line in the industry. And the systems that are supposed to protect your family are not working in the way you think they are. They're not working in the way I thought they were. We did a small piece on this last week on the channel. And if you saw that, great. It was kind of a intro to all of this. You're going to hear a little bit of the same material, but this is a five-part series, and we're going to go far beyond everything we just talked about last week. But to give you some conjecture here and to kind of set up the story so you understand where we're starting at, let's go, as of this recording, just a handful of weeks back, on the morning of April 23rd, 2026. A woman named Darmi Mehta was finishing her last breakfast aboard the Disney Magic cruise ship in San Diego. She and her family had been on board for 4 days. Their personal dining host, the man who had served them every evening, who knew their names, who had been warm and attentive the entire trip, joined them that morning. And if you've ever been on a cruise ship and you dine in the same place night after night, you end up having the same servers. They get to know you. It's part of the design. It's part of how they work this. And it can be, I mean, I can tell you who was the waiter on the Big Red Boat circa 1993. Paulo was our waiter. I remember these. It made an impact. I actually have the Big Red Boat, a mug right over there that I would get my, look, let me show you. Let me take a moment here. It's an interactive show here. Ta-da. Here you go. This is probably a collector's item now. The Big Red Boat. Remember this thing? This was a boat from back in the day. I think we'll keep it on the desk while we do this series. I had many Virgin daiquiris in that because I was like 12 on the boat. But I mean, again, it's just it's something that to me was a very memorable and good experience back in the day. So you have these relationships that form on these ships with the staff. And they're relationships that are built on trust because you think, oh, of course they've screened these people. They're around families every day, right? And kids. They have to screen them well, right? 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 Well, let's go back to that breakfast, shall we? Where mom is sitting there. And there's their waiter who they'd, you know, been interacting with all week on this wonderful, magical trip. But she noticed he seemed off, distracted, rushed. She figured, you know, it was turnover day. The crew was scrambling to cycle passengers off and prep for the next sailing. No big deal. 45 minutes later, Darmi Mehta was clearing customs at the Beastry Cruise Terminal when she saw federal agents loading cruise ship employees into an unmarked white van. Several were still in full uniform, blazers, ties, chef whites, name tags still clipped on their chest. One of them was the man who had just served her family breakfast. He was in handcuffs. It's the guy, the server from the ship. And she started filming. She had no idea what was happening. Nobody did. The rumor spread through the terminal almost immediately, and people went with it. This is important about rumors. They're not always true. The rumor that swept through immediately made everybody get activated. Okay, we got to stand up for this. And I get it. If it were this, I'd be standing up for it too. But it wasn't this. The rumor initially was an ICE raid, an immigration sweep. The political climate of 2026 with California's sanctuary laws and federal immigration enforcement making daily headlines, that was the assumption everyone landed on. It was wrong. What was allegedly found on that man's phone and the phones of dozens of other crew members across eight cruise ships docked in San Diego that week had nothing to do with immigration status. According to federal authorities, it was child CSAM material. So here's what actually happened. Between April 23rd and April 27th, 2026, U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers boarded eight cruise ships at the port of San Diego's Beastry Cruise Terminal as part of an ongoing enforcement activity on that type of material. On April 28th, Homeland Security investigations executed a coordinated action called Operation Tidal Wave, arresting 23 crew members from multiple ships. According to HSI spokesperson Sandra Grisalia, the arrest targeted individuals suspected of involvement with CSAM material, based on intelligence from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children across both phases of the operation, according to CBP. 28 crew members detained. 27 were allegedly involved in the receipt, possession, transportation, distribution, or viewing of that material. 26 were Filipino nationals. One was from Portugal. One was from Indonesia. 10 of the detained crew members reportedly worked on the Disney Magic, the same ship where Darmi Mehta had just eaten breakfast with one of them. According to local reporting from CBS 8 and community groups, the four came from a Holland America vessel, reportedly the MV Zandam. The rest came from other ships that CBP has not publicly identified. Oh. Yeah. Welcome to our five-part series here on Hidden Killers as we dive into all of this. And what happened in San Diego is only the beginning of what I found. Your thoughts in the comment section and Substack and YouTube as we continue to work our way through this story. Now, the way federal authorities, and by the way, the links are in the description, the way federal authorities knew who to target is important because it tells you this was not a random sweep. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children operates as a clearinghouse. Tech platforms, WhatsApp, Google iCloud, Facebook Messenger are legally required to use automated detection systems to flag that type of material on their servers. When material is detected, it is reported to NCMEC, and then they route those tips to Homeland Security investigations. HSI then builds cases, so when those agents boarded the ships in San Diego, they were not conducting random inspections. According to the official statements, they had intelligence, they had names, they knew who they were looking for before the gangways even came down. And for nearly 2 weeks, nobody outside of federal law enforcement knew any of this. The operation went unexplained publicly. Passengers who filmed the arrest posted them on social media, and the assumption, again, assumption that this was an immigration enforcement action took hold immediately. People wanted to get behind it and be social media warriors. Local immigrant rights organizations held a press conference at the B Street pier demanding answers. The Port of San Diego Harbor Police issued a statement clarifying they had no involvement and do not participate in immigration enforcement under California law. Community groups contacted federal officials seeking information. The narrative became about immigration, not child exploitation. And then when they found out what it was, oh, that changes the optics a little. Took until May 7th. Nearly 2 full weeks later, for CBP and HSI to issue public statements confirming that this was a CSAM enforcement operation. Now, look, I'm not faulting people for getting riled up, for going to advocate for these people on this cruise ship before they knew what was really going on. I think that's good. We need people to advocate for others, without a doubt. But assumptions are not a great thing. But I think you have to look at the quest for the answer as one thing. And then once the answer is found out, what happened after? They didn't keep advocating for them. It's like, oh, that's what it's about. Which is why transparency is important to begin with. If that's what's going on, let the public know. Just let them know right away. Unless you like to sit there watching people out of the goodness of their heart try to advocate for those who need advocating for. Hit their head against a brick wall and end up being made a fool of when they really, truly had good intentions for helping another individual who may be being persecuted wrongly. That seems pretty shitty, too. If everybody's on the same page, we can fight the same battles. Let's not make enemies of each other on this. Nobody's down with any of this. So if this is what you're going in to find and get, then let people know that's what you're going to find and get. Don't wait 2 weeks. Don't let them go out and make statements that aren't actually accurate about what's going on. Another person may say, don't go make inaccurate statements about what you don't know what is going on. I think that's a clear point that should be made here too. Don't jump on the bandwagon until you know what the hell that bandwagon is all about. But don't let it stop you from advocating for those that you feel need advocating for. But once the answer was found, everybody was disturbed. The real story had been buried under a political narrative that had nothing to do with what actually happened on those ships. Once the story broke, the corporate responses arrived. Maybe you've seen them this week. The Disney Cruise Line issued a statement. We have a zero tolerance policy for this type of behavior and fully cooperated with law enforcement. While the majority of these individuals, and then the downplaying begins. Okay, I like your first sentence, but the downplaying, this is where we get to bullshit territory. This is where I stop trusting you. This is where trust is the one one thing you need to kind of trade on and the one thing you are lacking heavily at this moment in time. So when you make a statement like, well, the majority of these individuals were not from our cruise line, those who were no longer with the company. Those who were are no longer with the company. Okay, that's nice, but, you know, you had 37% of the 27. So, yeah, you may not necessarily technically... You had the most of any cruise line alone. One, at least ship, anyway. 37% of the people were from your one cruise ship. The other percentage were from a mixture of other ships. So you did have the most coming off of one ship. Let's not bullshit about that fact and get caught up in the minutiae of that, because that seems to be what you're trying to do here, which I'm just, you're lying. You are fucking lying. Out of the gate. You're at the best downplaying, at the worst you're lying, in my opinion. Holland America was even shorter. This is a law enforcement matter, and we cooperate with law enforcement investigations and jurisdictions where we operate. Any questions should be directed to Customs and Border Patrol. Strategic. You don't put the words in that sentence that have anything to do with what they're there for, because if you just take that statement by itself, or someone who doesn't know what's going on, they're like, oh, well, maybe they're stealing something. Maybe they were, if you don't know what they're actually doing, that statement doesn't read for as bad as the type of folks that were being busted on these ships, allegedly. So I want to sit with a Disney statement for a moment, because the language is very carefully chosen. The majority were not from our cruise line. That's distancing. It shifts focus away from the 10 who reportedly were Disney employees. Those who were, need a comma there. Those who were are no longer with the company. Past tense, swift termination, case closed. What is missing from that statement is anything about how those individuals passed background checks in the first place. Anything about what internal vetting processes exist for crew members who serve families with children. Anything about whether the material was accessed on the ship's network or on a personal device. Anything about what Disney is doing to prevent this from happening on the next voyage. I hear zero tolerance, and what I want to know is what it actually means in practice. So do a lot of other moms and dads, Disney. Because zero tolerance after someone gets caught is not a prevention policy. It's damage control. And I say that as someone who has booked Disney cruises for my own family. But here is where the story gets much bigger than San Diego and much bigger than Disney. According to Cruise Law News, a maritime legal publication that's tracked this issue extensively, nearly 200 cruise ship members had been accused of possessing CSAM in approximately 2 years. As of their November 2025 reporting, 200! The Maritime Executive reported that over 100 Filipino cruise members alone had their visas revoked and were deported from ports between Norfolk, Virginia, and Port Canaveral, Florida by mid-2025. San Diego was not the beginning of this. It was not an isolated event. Based on available reporting, it was the latest and largest enforcement action in a pattern that has been accelerating across every major cruise line operating out of U.S. ports. Not just Disney, not just one nationality, not just one ship. An industry-wide pattern that, according to these reports, is still growing. Now we arrive at the part of the story that I can't stop thinking about, the part that, as a parent, makes me rather angry in a way I was not expecting when I started this research. KPBS, the San Diego public media outlet, through their Pulitzer Prize-winning border reporter, confirmed that as of May 8th, 26, federal prosecutors in both the Southern District of California and the Central Division District of California have no record of any criminal charges stemming from Operation Tidal Wave. Yeah. According to KPBS reporting, 27 people were confirmed by CBP to have been involved in CSAM. And as of the reporting date, no criminal charges have been filed against any of them anywhere. Well, this is weird, isn't it? No, it's actually par for the course. This is how they work it. This is how the cruise companies work it. With the help of our government. Don't charge them. Just deport them. Get them out of here. A spokesperson for the Southern District of California told KPBS directly, there are no pending criminal charges in this district. The counterpart in L.A. said the office was not aware that this matter of being brought to our attention. No names released, no charging documents, no warrants were disclosed. ICE declined KPBS's request for more information. All 27 individuals were deported within approximately 2 weeks of the detention. Visas canceled, returned to their countries of citizenships. The Philippine consulate in Los Angeles said they were not notified of the allegations before they were made public. Maritime attorneys interviewed in multiple outlets described this outcome as highly unusual. Child exploitation material cases are ordinarily prosecuted in federal court when sufficient evidence exists. Possession and distribution of that material carries serious federal penalties. The decision to deport rather than prosecute at this scale for this category of offense raises immediate questions. I want to talk to you about what deportation without prosecution actually means. Parent to parent. Because this is a part where the system fails everyone. Except the cruise lines. So let's play this out, because you may be thinking, well, great. They got them. They're gone. They're back to their country. They're never going to come back again. Yeah, predators never return. They never find ways to get back into the hen house. Never. No, especially when there's no trail following them, no evidence following them, no reporting. Yeah, they just go away. They just go off into the ether and die, right? No. That's not how that works. No trial means no conviction. No conviction means no offender registry entry. No public record of any kind. No accountability mechanism. Also, it does not exist. These individuals return to their home countries with clean records. What happened on the ship? Did it work out? Maritime legal experts have pointed out that they will almost certainly never face prosecution either. They are free. They're free right now. The children depicted in the material allegedly found on the phones, real children, real victims, have no path of justice through this operation. Not in the United States because no charges were filed. Not in the individual's home countries because the evidence traveled with the federal agencies who chose deportation over prosecution. Now think about what that means for the other direction. If you are a predator and you work on a cruise ship and the worst thing that happens when you get caught is you get sent home, no charges, no record, no registry, no public identification, actually a free trip home. What exactly is the deterrent here? What is stopping you? What is stopping the next person? You get deported, you wait, you apply to a different manning agency, a different cruise line, the kind of third-party hiring firm that recruits international crews for cruise lines. You board a different ship, maybe a different cruise line, maybe a different route. Nobody knows who you are because there's no database following you. There is no international maritime offender registry. There is no shared record between countries or between cruise lines. You walk back into a job surrounded by families who have no idea what you were allegedly caught with. That is not a deterrent. That is an invitation. Deportation without prosecution does not just fail to create accountability. It creates fertile ground. It tells anyone paying attention that the consequences for allegedly possessing this on a cruise ship full of families is a plane ticket home. And the cruise line gets exactly what they need out of it. The problem disappears from their ships and their balance sheets without a single headline naming their brand in a courtroom. I did not expect to find this when I started looking into the San Diego story. I expected a disturbing incident. What I found instead is something much larger. A pattern of cases stretching back years, an enforcement mechanism that removes people from ships but does not hold them accountable. An industry that issues identical zero-tolerance statements while the numbers keep climbing, and a silence around all of it that is not accidental. I'm going to be spending the next 4 episodes breaking this open every day, a new episode, every cruise line, the specific cases, how children are vulnerable on these ships in ways you have not been told, why prosecution almost never happens, and who is spending tens of millions of dollars to make sure the rules do not change. That's all coming up. Because what I found in San Diego is just the beginning. San Diego was not the first time this happened, not even close. The pattern stretches back years across every major cruise line, and the cases that have actually been prosecuted reveal something far worse than the phones full of images. They reveal individuals who allegedly use their positions on family cruise ships to target children directly. That is next. Press subscribe so you do not miss it. The links are in the description. If you want to discuss this on Substack and YouTube, I welcome the conversation. I welcome your stories. I think we're going to be getting a bit of a community going here of people sharing horror stories. Information is power. Share what you have in the comments section. And press subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Substack, Spotify, iHeart, wherever it may be, so you don't miss any of our coverage on this throughout the week. My name's Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
In late April of 2026, 27 cruise ship members were detained in San Diego, allegedly involving, the material on their telephones that, involved kids. Every one of them was deported without a single criminal charge. That story should have been the end of something. Instead, it was really just the latest chapter. Welcome to part two in our five-part series focusing on this problem with the cruise industry. In the last episode, I told you about Operation Tidal Wave and what it revealed about the enforcement system. What I did not tell you is how far back this goes. We alluded to it. We teased it. Here's where you're going to find out more. How many cruise lines it touches, because it goes beyond the magic of Disney or how bad the individual cases actually are. I need to warn you, some of what I'm about to describe here is deeply disturbing. But if you're a parent who's ever booked a family cruise or is considering one, you need to know what has been happening on these ships. All right. And again, as I said in the first one, for context, I'm not some anti-cruise person who's jaded or doesn't. I love going on. I love cruises. I do. I do. I think they're fun. And this is deeply disturbing to me, as should be to you. December 2023, the Disney Dream Cruise. I'm going to say that every time I say a ship. I'm going to talk just like the advertisements. The Disney Dream Cruise. Well, it docked at Port Everglades in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, after a trip to the Bahamas. And according to the federal criminal complaint, U.S. Customs and Border Protection and Homeland Security investigation agents boarded the ship and went directly to a locked cabin of a 44-year-old crew member from the Philippines named Teresa Anthony Neary. Ship security called him to his cabin. Agents seized his two cell phones. And according to court documents, forensic analysis of those phones revealed illegal materials depicting, yeah, you guessed it, kids. On one phone, investigators reportedly found a folder. It was named after a girl. Inside were illegal images and videos of said person. Also inside, according to the criminal complaint, was a photograph of her Philippine passport, which indicated she was 17 when the material was created. One file was reportedly titled in Neri's native language. I didn't want to fucking say this. Oh my God. This is the name of the folder on his phone. This is the type of brain you're dealing with. This is why these people just need to be literally millstone off the side of the ship. Come here, we got something you want to put around your neck. Going for a swim. Bye. I mean, who the... This is the name of his folder. 9 years old and delicious. I'm not going to go into what it depicts. You can probably make a guess. Neary was charged federally with transportation and possession of that type of material. According to the complaint, he told investigators he belonged to several group chats on Telegram and Facebook Messenger where he downloaded the material. He claimed he saved folders without looking at them. A forensic examination reportedly contradicted that BS claim, revealing he not only saved but viewed the material. As of the most recent available reporting, his case was pending. Here's another detail that should stop you cold. Teresa Neary was the third Disney Dream crew member charged in approximately 2 months. Not the third across Disney's entire fleet, the third on that one ship. Early in January 24, according to court documents and multiple news reports, Elvin Gonzalez, a 49-year-old Filipino crew member on the Disney Dream, was arrested at Port Everglades after the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children tipped off Homeland Security investigators. His phone allegedly contained a video over 8 minutes long depicting, yeah, the children appeared to be between about 8 and 12. According to the filing, the Miami New Times later reported that the Broward State Attorney's Office filed what it called no information on Gonzalez's state charges, meaning state prosecutors did not pursue those charges. His federal case status is unclear from available reporting. The same month, Emil Joseph Trazo, a 28-year-old Filipino crew member also working on the Disney Dream, was arrested during a border check when the ship arrived at Port Everglades. According to a federal affidavit cited by Fox News and the Miami New Times, forensic analysis of his iPhone allegedly revealed illegal material depicting, yeah, again, young ones, stored in folders named after individual people, with material dating back to 2019. He was also allegedly a member of group chats on Facebook Messenger where links and illegal images were being shared. Trazo allegedly told investigators he shared the material with friends and a girlfriend in order to tease them. Excuse me while I just shiver. He also allegedly stated that he needs help, knows it's wrong, and is bad for his religion. He was facing both state and federal charges as of the most recent reporting. Bad for your religion. Not bad for the people. Bad for your religion. Yeah. I guess maybe that's why some people really need religion badly, because they need it to tell them that you can't do these things. Whereas the rest of us don't necessarily need God to say, hey, don't do that. That's horrible and wrong. Some people literally need the guidebook. And even then, they can't quite follow it. Three crew members, one ship, 2 months, and Disney's response each time was functionally identical. We have zero tolerance for this type of alleged behavior. The crew member is no longer working for the company. Good. The same statement, same language, three times on the same vessel. At a certain point, you have to ask whether zero tolerance is a policy or a press release template. You know? You do. I get it. You don't want it. They're not like, I don't think they're sitting there seeking out these type of people. I'm sure they're just as horrified. But what are you doing to stop it, to prevent it? That's the big question. Because it keeps happening. And when it keeps happening, it becomes a pattern of behavior. And it's not so much the predator's problem at a certain point. It becomes your problem that you're somehow letting them in. They're somehow getting past the gatekeepers. But this is not just a Disney story. That's what I need you to understand, because what happened next on a different cruise line crosses a line that separates these cases from anything involving a phone. February 24, a guest aboard Royal Caribbean Symphony of the Seas discovers a hidden recording device concealed in her cabin, the private space she and her daughters had been using for the duration of the cruise. The cabin was serviced by a stateroom attendant named Arvin Joseph Marisol, a 34-year-old from the Philippines. He was detained on the ship until it docked at Port Everglades on March 3rd, when HSI and CBP agents boarded, seized his electronics, and began a forensic examination. According to the Department of Justice, the examination revealed numerous videos of minors between the ages of 2 and 17 in private moments. One video showed Marisol himself installing a hidden camera in a guest private space. According to prosecutors, Marisol also entered guest rooms and concealed himself inside cabins to secretly record passengers in their most private moments. He has been doing so since December of 23. He pled guilty to producing that sort of material and was sentenced to 30 years in a federal prison. A class action lawsuit later alleged that up to 960 passengers may have been filmed during his time on the ship. I want you to sit with that for a second. Parent to parent, the stateroom attendant, the person who cleans your cabin, who has a master key card to your room, who is in and out while you're at the pool or at dinner with your kids or wherever you're doing. According to the Department of Justice and his own guilty plea, this man was installing cameras in your family's private spaces and concealing himself inside guest cabins to secretly record passengers. And the cruise line did not catch him. Their security cameras and systems did not catch him. A guest found the camera by looking under the sink in her cabin. That is the only reason this stopped. Let's take a visit to the Kids Club, shall we? Because in November of 23, the Celebrity Silhouette, owned by Royal Caribbean Group, departed Port Everglades for a 10-day Caribbean cruise. Parents dropped their 6-year-old daughter off at Camp at Sea, the ship's supervised youth center. The kind of program every cruise line markets to families is safe, fun, monitored environment where your children are looked after while you enjoy the ship. That evening, according to the FBI affidavit filed in federal court, the little girl told her parents that CJ, youth counselor Chris John Penitino Castor, a 35-year-old from the Philippines, had touched her inappropriately. Her father brought her back to the youth center manager immediately. When the ship returned to Port Everglades, the FBI interviewed Castor. According to the affidavit, he waived his Miranda rights. He allegedly admitted to making inappropriate contact while she played a video game. Then, according to investigators, he admitted more. He allegedly told the FBI he'd been making these sort of contacts with at least 3 other kids in the youth center since he was hired in August, a span of roughly 4 months. He allegedly said he did this while consciously hiding his acts from the youth center's security cameras. Security footage reviewed by investigators was consistent with the girl's account. According to the affidavit, it showed Castor's hand reaching into her lap. Castor was indicted by a federal grand jury on 2 counts of criminal conduct involving a minor and faces up to life in prison if convicted. Celebrity Cruises fired him and issued a statement, "We have zero tolerance for this behavior." I'm sure you do, but why does it keep happening? A 6-year-old stopped that. Not the cruise line, not their cameras, not their screening process. A child who was brave enough to tell her parents what happened. The other children who allegedly admitted to this had not reported it. Think about how many voyages passed between August and November. Think about how many families dropped their children off at that youth center and picked them up and never knew. And Celebrity Cruises declined to answer questions about their vetting and hiring processes. The case that shows just how far this can go involves Princess Cruises, and it ends with 2 men serving a combined 45 years in federal prison. Summer of 2019, Daniel Scott Crowe, an American working as assistant cruise director on a princess ship sailing Alaska, met a 16-year-old girl who was vacationing with her family. His job included entertaining children on board. Company rules explicitly prohibited crew from interacting personally with passengers. Well, Crowe exchanged Instagram handles and phone numbers with the girl anyway, and after the cruise, he messaged her daily via WhatsApp. He solicited compromising images of her. In May of 2020, Crowe arranged to meet the girl, who had turned 17, at a Hampton Inn in Stuart, Florida. You can guess what happened. He recorded it. He stored the conversations and videos on his phone. He was caught only because an ex-girlfriend went through his social media, discovered the relationships, and reported it to Port St. Lucie Police Department. When investigators seized his phone at a Philadelphia International Airport, they found the videos he made of the teenager. They also found over 600 images and videos. of people who are not adults. Including things sent to him by a fellow Princess crew member named Angelo Victor Fernandez, a 34-year-old from India who worked as a guest activities officer on the same ship. According to federal court filings, Crow and Fernandez exchanged this sort of material and discussed targeting minors. They discussed traveling and targeting children as young as five. Crow directed Fernandez to send him material involving pretty young. And then he complained when they were too old. You know, old like 13. That's old. God. Fernandez sent 13 videos containing over 600 images, including material depicting what we just talked about. The federal prosecutor described Crow as a man in a position of trust, acting as a cruise entertainer responsible for the care and entertainment of children. Crow pled guilty and was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison. Fernandez was sentenced to over 15. That is a man whose job was to entertain children on a family cruise who use it access to target a teenager, groom her for months, record himself, and simultaneously collect material depicting while discussing it with a colleague and how to target more. He met the girl on a family vacation. Her parents were on the ship. The numbers across the rest of the industry paint the same picture. Carnival Cruise Line leads all operators in reported allegations. They have the most ships. 129 total incidents documented through Q3 25, according to data filed under Cruise Vessel Security and Safety Act. According to court documents, in a separate case, a crew member on the Carnival Sunrise allegedly did something with a 17-year-old after approaching her in the fitness center. A man convicted of doing this on the Carnival Legend was found during trial to have done this to at least six other people. In September of 25, four Carnival crew members were removed from a ship in Baltimore for possession of that sort of material on their phones. Holland America had four crew members detained in San Diego during Operation Tidal Wave. In a separate case, a Holland America crew member was accused of doing this to a passenger on the MS New Amsterdam and allegedly attempting to throw her overboard. Department of Transportation data shows assaults as the most commonly reported crime on cruise ships, with numbers climbing every year since the pandemic ended. So here's where we are. Disney, Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, Princess, Carnival, Holland America. Not one company, not one ship, not one year. A pattern that spans the entire cruise industry, documented across years of federal filings, DOJ press releases, FBI affidavits, and DOT crime data. The connecting thread runs through every case. International crew hired through a third party, managing agencies with limited background verification, no international offender registry, NCMEC tips from tech platforms as the primary detection mechanism rather than anything the cruise lines themselves are doing, and an identical corporate response from every single company. Zero tolerance, termination, a carefully worded statement, and silence. According to Cruise Law News, nearly 200 crew members have been accused of possessing this material in roughly 2 years. Those are the ones who got caught. They got caught because CBP has authority at U.S. ports of entry to search devices and because NCMEC flags material and tech platforms. That's the detection system, not the cruise lines, not their internal security, not their zero tolerance policies, which seems to catch next to no one. Federal agents at the border and automated algorithms on WhatsApp. If a crew member possesses a material that was never uploaded to a flagged platform, or if the ship docks at a port without the same enforcement infrastructure, which is most of them outside the U.S., there's no mechanism for catching them. So the question is not how many have been caught. The question is, how many are still out there right now on ships full of families carrying material on their phones that nobody is checking for? And what messages are we sending when the ones who do get caught are deported without charges, without a public record, without a registry entry, free to apply for another ship because no database follows them? We've built a system where the consequence for allegedly possessing this on a cruise ship full of families is a plane ticket home and a clean slate. Some of these obviously did get prosecuted. They're the minority. If you were a predator, would that stop you? The cases I just laid out involve crew members with access to children's dining tables, their cabins, their supervised youth programs, their bedrooms. The next episode asks the question that hits me hardest as a parent. What does it actually look like when your child is unsupervised on a cruise ship? And who has access to them when you're not watching? That's next. Press subscribe so you don't miss it and give us your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love to get your insight, your stories, your experiences. Links are in the description. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.